So we're going through the book of 2 Timothy, for those of you that are joining us for the first time in a while. Last week, I preached on 2 Timothy chapter 1. And does anyone remember what the point of last week's message was? What was kind of the takeaway of last week's message? Remember we talked about like fanning it into flame? Yeah. Huh? Basically, it was about like, what do you do if you're discouraged and you're... Huh? Jamar. Jamar always knows, actually. What were you going to say?
Even if your faith isn't that strong, it's not entirely gone. All you need to do is just rekindle it and blow on some more in order to reverse.
Let's give Jamar a hand. Wow. That was awesome. Man, you know, Jamar recently became a Christian, and, you know, I can just tell he loves God's Word. He loves to learn about the Lord and about the Bible, and... yeah, that was really good, Jamar. That's exactly what we talked about, is what do you do if you feel like your faith is kind of weak? What do you do if you feel discouraged in your faith? We talked about how we need to fan the gospel into our lives. We need to fan it. It's inside of us. We need to remind ourselves. We need to minister the gospel to ourselves and to others. Today, we're going to talk about something a little bit different, but I think the question that today's text answers is, how do you be a special Christian? How do you be a special Christian? What do I mean by that? Well, I think we're all special, okay, in certain ways. Some people are very special, like the front row right here, right? But, all right, give it up for our juniors. Yes, junior boys. Very special group of boys. I love them. But I'm talking about, like, I guess what I mean is people that, like, God seems to have used for special purposes. Like, how do you become a person that God uses for special purposes? Right? And so some examples that I think of in church history. You guys know who this is? Anyone know? Hudson Taylor? Huh? Hudson Taylor was a British missionary to China. Okay? And his organization was the first to go take the gospel to the interior of China. And so the gospel had spread kind of to the coastal cities because the European countries were, there. But as far as the vast interior of China, nobody had gone there. Hudson Taylor decided, I'm going to go where nobody has gone before. And for many, many years, he was in China. It was because of him, actually, because of him and his group of missionaries that China is what it is today in terms of the church. You know, we have guys like Solomon and Jin coming from China. And I think you guys were, you guys attended a house church, right? You know, in China, in the 1940s, when the communists took over, they kicked all the foreigners out and they started persecuting the church. And for about 40 years, those outside of China just figured that the church was dying in China because they knew that they were being persecuted and nobody could go in there to help them. And so for 40 years, China was a closed country, and people thought, you know, the church must be dying because of the communist revolution, the cultural revolution. China opened its doors again in the 70s and 80s, and church observers went in, and they found that the church was thriving underground in house churches. Why? Because of the churches that Hudson Taylor and his missionaries planted. They planted something that really stood the test of time and persecution. And today we have our brothers Solomon and Jin. You know, this is part of that heritage, right? Some of you might know who these people are, but this is Pastor Daniel and Ruth Kim. And these are the missionaries that are our contacts in the Philippines. And as you guys have heard for the last couple years, you know, the island that we're visiting, it was completely unreached 20 years ago. Meaning that it was on the Joshua Project, and the Wadai people that we go visit and that we do missions with, they were considered to be completely unreached. But one Korean-American couple left their jobs, they took their young family to the Philippines and ministered there. And 20 years later, there is a thriving church movement to the point where we go and we feel like we need to learn from these believers. One couple, God used them in a special way to reach the Wadai. Right, and of course we are reading the letter of a very special Christian, the Apostle Paul. God used Paul in a very special way. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. Raise your hand if you're a Jew. None of us are Jews. We're all Gentiles, and we have the gospel today largely because of what Paul did. Right, God uses certain people in special ways, and I believe that God can use us in special ways as well. What kind of Christian do you want to be? Right? Do you want to be an ordinary Christian, or do you want to be used by God for special purposes? I, for one, and I hope that you guys can join me in saying, I want to be used for special purposes. That might look different from these examples that we're talking about. Maybe no one will ever write a book about us. But I still want to be used for special purposes in my life, for the people that God puts in my life, for your family members, for your friends. How do we become people that God will use for special purposes? We're going to read chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, and I think that we're going to find the answer there. Okay, so let's all turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. And, you know, we're going to actually read from the kind of halfway through 2 Timothy chapter 2, okay? So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and I believe that this text is going to answer us, how do we become special Christians? Verse 15, read it with me as I read it out loud. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. It says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Paul's writing to Timothy, who, as I said last week, is a pastor. And in order for Timothy to be used for special purposes, Paul is telling Timothy, you need to know how to handle God's word, how to correctly handle God's word of truth. I think in order to be Christians that God uses for special purposes, this should be fairly obvious, but it bears repeating again and again. We need to be experts in God's word. We need to be experts in God's word. We need to know God's word. That means we need to know God's word, and we need to know how to handle God's word properly. We need to know what it means. Okay? If you're a Christian, I believe that you should strive to be an expert in God's word. An expert. What does that look like? You know, I think we know how to become experts. Okay? Let me ask you guys a few questions about people's expertise here at OKC. All right, who is an expert in fixing cars? Jeff Hong. Who is an expert at making coffee? Andy Kim. Who is Andy Kim over here, if you don't know who he is? Who is an expert in board games? Philip Jun, right? Who's an expert in makeup and hair? Connie Chung. Irene. Who is an expert at cooking? Diana and Yejun. Who's an expert at WWE? Daniel Lim, right? We all know how to be experts. I think a lot of us are experts at something, right? We spend a lot of time learning about it. We hone our skills, right, to become good at something. You guys remember, for those of you that were at the retreat and Yejun cooked us those ribs? Oh my gosh, that was so, you know how much time he spent researching how to smoke those ribs properly? And man, they were like expertly done. You know, I've been to Texas which is like the mecca of barbecue. And I've been to, like, if you look at the top 10 lists, you know, of the best barbecue in Austin, I've been to many of those places. And I'm telling you, Yejun's ribs were like at that level. You know, he became an expert in very short time. He became an expert in how to smoke ribs. I think we know how to become experts. It's just, do we put our attention, our priority in becoming experts in God's word? Are you an expert in God's word? Do you know God's word? Do you strive to know it more and more? If you want to be a special Christian, we must become experts in God's word. You know, are you a worker, right? Paul says, become a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, right? Is your knowledge of God's word something that you don't have to be ashamed about? You know, when I was in college, I did construction for a summer, okay? And so, in order to be a construction worker, you have to buy tools. So I went to Home Depot and I bought some tools. Okay, let me put this belt on real quick.
All right, so I went to Home Depot, right, and I bought my tool belt. You need a tool belt to carry all your tools, right? And then, oh, whoops. Yeah, I was not an expert in the tools that I bought. Okay? I was such a noob. So I had all these things. I had my tool or my tape measure. I had my screwdriver. You guys know what this is? Chalk line. It like has chalk on it. It makes straight lines, so you can make straight cuts. You know, I had a hammer, and I had all these tools. I looked the part of a construction worker, but I was so bad at it. Has anyone ever tried to like hammer a nail into like a piece of wood? You know, when we were in the youth group, we used to do that. I took the youth group to Mexico a couple times. And like the first time you ever use a hammer, it's like you don't know how to wield this thing. Okay. And you feel like such a noob. Like just to nail one nail into a piece of wood. You know, I saw Daniel Lee struggling with one nail for like 10 minutes and then eventually he bent it. Now it was both of you. Eventually he bent it, right? And then I told him, oh, pull the nail out. He didn't know how to do that either, right? You know, some of us are like that with the Word of God. I was totally like that when I first started construction. You know, for the first like 10 days, they just had me on trash duty and I was literally sweeping like all this trash and dust, and like homeless people would come and poop on our construction site. You know, we had to clean that, and it was really bad. It was dirty work. I'd come home every day, my nostrils, my boogers would be all black and stuff. But one day they finally said, okay, Stephen, you can use the circular saw. My first time using a power tool. The circular saw is basically, it's a saw, it's a circular blade, and it does this. When you pull the trigger, it goes, rawr! Okay, and you use it to basically cut straight lines, okay, into like a board, okay? And so I was so excited. I was pretty nervous. I grabbed that circular saw. I put my hand on the board. I was holding it, making sure that I'm not going to like cut my thumb off. If the blade can cut wood, it could definitely cut my thumb, right? So, all right, super careful. I pull the trigger. And I start doing this. And as soon as you start cutting, the blade gets exposed. And I don't know what happened, but the power cord from the saw, it swung like this and hit the blade that was spinning. And it just went whoosh. And it just cut right through that blade, literally on my first cut, okay? Literally on my first cut, I messed up that saw. And the next 2 hours, the guy that was using that saw had to fix it. You know, it's like, I was so unproductive, right? I didn't know what I was doing. You know, but I kept at it, you know? And now I'm like, you know, I'm pretty handy. You know, I, you know, built some stuff at my mom's house, built an awesome bunk bed for Paul, my roommate, right? You know, I'm not an expert, but I've grown in terms of my workmanship, my craftsmanship. And I want to suggest that the same thing can happen to us when we invest in knowing God's word. We can become skilled craftsmen. We can become experts in God's word, but we need to know it. I'm going to take this belt off real quick. How can we do this? I think as Christians, we need to have a daily devotional time. Okay, I would ask you to raise your hands, but I feel like that would be a little embarrassing. Okay, but how many of you guys have a daily devotional time? How can you know the Word of God if you're not reading His Word? Right? We spend time. We pray. Don't tell me you don't have time. Because we do have time. We do have time for Netflix. We do have time for Snapchat and Instagram, don't we? But it's in terms of what we prioritize. We don't put it as our baseline standard that as a Christian, I need to know God's word. We need to know God's word, guys. Have your time of daily devotions. Learn God's word. Learn it so that you can use it correctly in your life. You know, some of us are husbands and wives. Some of you are going to be husbands and wives. Most of us are going to be husbands and wives someday. You know, how can you be a godly husband or a godly wife if you don't know God's word? How can you instruct your children in God's word if you don't know it? You know, most of us, I would venture to guess that most of us, our parents never taught us God's word because they themselves don't know it, even if they go to church. And that's not the way that it should be. Remember what Pastor Daniel talked about in Deuteronomy 6, that parents are supposed to instruct their children, right? How can you do that if you don't know God's word?
We need to know God's word. We need to know how to handle it correctly. You know, I think that's also kind of a really important point, is that we need to know how to correctly handle the word of truth, it says in verse 15. Because there's correct ways to handle it, and there's incorrect ways to handle it, right? You know, God's word is super, super powerful. Just like power tools are super, super powerful, okay? It is the word of truth revealed to us by God, who knows what we don't know, and he reveals it to us. And I think that needs to be the premise at which we come to God's word, is that it is the word of God given to us, right? And it sits in judgment of us, not the other way around, right? And if we get that wrong, then I think God's word can become used very, very dangerously. You know, some of us, we might wonder, you know, how do we know what the right interpretation is? Paul tells us here, okay, in verses 16, 17, 18, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. What is this godless chatter? It's their teaching, which will spread like gangrene. Among them are these guys, right? Basically, you can tell if God's word is being handled correctly by your preacher or by, you know, whoever you're listening to, is if it leads to greater godliness in the person that's listening to it, right? You know, do you know how to handle God's word in such a way that when you read it, when you teach it to others, that it leads to greater godliness in their lives? You know, if you don't know how to do that, you know, me and Daniel, we've gone to school for this. You know, I think we know how to correctly handle God's word. You know, we can help you with that. There's excellent resources online that you can self-teach yourself in. You know, if you just want to get started on a daily devotional, talk to me. I have a website that I've been using with the youth. It's been very, very helpful for them, right? But we need to know how to handle God's word correctly. And that's the start for how to become a special Christian. Amen? The second thing, I think, that this text tells us is that in order to be a special Christian, in order to be used by God for special purposes, we need to get rid of the things in our lives that keep us from godliness. If you want to be used by God for special things, then you need to get rid of the things in your life that get in the way of you being godly. Read verses 20 through 22 with me. Paul makes an analogy here, and he compares our lives to a large house. He says in verse 20, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. But those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Those who cleanse themselves from what is dishonorable in their lives, they will be special instruments in God's hands. God will use them for special purposes. So in our lives, there are things that are kind of dishonorable and things that are honorable, okay? We're going to play a game called Special or Common, okay? Now, I'm going to throw up some articles that you might find in your house. You tell me if it's for special uses or common uses, all right? You guys understand? All right, first, item number one, special or common? Okay, special, if you only use this on special occasions, then I don't want to do your laundry for you, okay? Common, this is commonly used, hopefully, okay? All right, please don't tell me that you only use it on special occasion. What about this? Special, right? Only once in your life, hopefully, right? Only once in your life, special purposes, right? What about this? Okay, thank you, Daniel. You caught on how to play this game. Yes, commonly used, right? At least twice a day, you brush your teeth with it. It's common, right? What about this? Hopefully, you sweep your floors commonly. All right, what about this? Special. Every Korean has this in their house, right? Displayed in some sort of case, right? Special. You don't use this for dinner. You don't use this for your dog's water dish. Right? You use this when you have a guest of honor coming to your house. It's for special purposes. What about this? Common. Okay, yeah, that's just a joke. Common. The rap artist? Yeah. All right. Special in our lives. All right? We have things also that are sort of special, and we need to bring those things out. We have things in our lives that are sort of common, maybe even dishonorable. We need to get rid of those things. Right? So that we can be used for special purposes. Paul says that those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes. And he says in verse 22, flee the evil desires of youth. Flee the evil desires of youth. That's a really strong verb. Flee. What does it mean to flee? It means to run away like your life depends on it. You know, you flee from something that's dangerous, from something that's chasing you. You guys remember the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife? What did he do when Potiphar was like, hey, Joseph, you know, come to bed with me. And Joseph literally ran out of the room. He fled from that situation. Paul says, flee the evil desires of youth. And he's talking about things that maybe young people struggle with that we won't struggle with as much when we're older. You know, probably a very, very just obvious example is sexual immorality. You know, do some of us struggle with sexual immorality? I know that that's something that's common to almost everybody, right? Whether that's porn addiction, whether that's lustful thoughts, whether that's you actually, you know, hooking up with people. We need to flee the evil desires of youth. We need to keep ourselves pure when it comes to our sexuality. You know, some of us, we understand, we've experienced how destructive sexual impurity can be to our lives, to our relationships with other people, to our relationships with God. You know, some of you guys, a lot of you guys aren't dating yet, okay, younger people. When you're dating, don't put yourself in compromising situations. Don't tempt yourself. Don't let yourself, you know, be alone with your girlfriend or boyfriend in a situation where you guys can mess up. Oh, you know, we won't do that. Dude, do you think anybody goes into a relationship saying, oh yeah, I'm going to lose my virginity to this person? No, they don't. But what does Satan do? Satan uses our weaknesses. He knows our weaknesses and he uses that against us. So Paul says, flee from those things. Don't hang around. Don't wait till Satan pounces on you. Flee. You know, Paul doesn't specify what these evil desires of youth are. I think maybe what that means for us is that, you know, those evil desires of youth can kind of depend on our generation. Right? And so for our generation, I think something that I wanted to kind of bring out for us, something food for thought, is something that we might need to kind of purify our lives from is addiction to entertainment. Addiction to entertainment, I think, is something that really will kind of hold our generation captive. You know, there's an article recently on The Atlantic about how smartphones are destroying an entire generation. You guys should read that. It's really, really interesting and kind of thought-provoking. But, you know, we spend so much of our time, don't we, on our mobile apps, on our mobile games. You know, so much of our time and our money even. We spend hours and hours binging on season after season on Netflix and Amazon and Hulu. And I'm not saying that, you know, that those things are evil in and of themselves, but I think the desire to keep consuming, to try to fill our lives, you know, and entertain ourselves because we're missing something, you know, and to live life on a screen rather than living it in this world that with the plan that God gave us, I want to suggest that Satan uses that in our generation to keep us from being used for special purposes. Some of us are addicted to our entertainment. And I will suggest that if that's you, then maybe you need to flee from that addiction. You know, you guys know how addictive my personality is. You know, I've shared with you many times about my addictions, right? And how I've struggled for my life, you know. One thing I've decided to do is I'm not going to have a Netflix account. You know, I might be the only person in this room, maybe, you know, past the age of 18, that doesn't have a Netflix account. But you know what? That's just one way that I've said between me and God, I'm not going to let myself be consumed by this because I want to set myself apart to be used by you, Lord, for special purposes. And if that means that I can't binge, you know, on the latest season of Stranger Things or whatever, you know, there's so many things, right? It's okay. God, I want to set myself apart for you because I want to be used by you for special purposes. You know, we might say that, you know, these things that I'm mentioning, there's a whole slew of things maybe in your own life. You got to think about this yourself, okay? What this is in your life. You know, you might object, Netflix or whatever, these things, mobile apps, whatever, they're not a sin. I don't need to flee from them. That's fine. But I think we should test ourselves with this thing that you're struggling with, if it's sort of a gray area. Is it making you more or less godly? If it's making you more godly, then keep doing it. And if it's taking you away from godliness, then maybe you need to flee from it. Okay? Flee the evil desires of youth, and you will be used for special purposes. You know, some of you might be kind of discouraged by this. I'm not this kind of person. I'm not set apart. I've made a lot of mistakes. And you're sitting here telling me that I can't be used by God unless unless I've cleansed myself. But, you know, to be honest, I'm not like that. Well, first of all, let me encourage you with this. You know, just want to remind you of the gospel. What does it say? That God forgives us. And when we put our faith in Him, He forgives and cleanses us of all of our sin, and you stand before Him as righteous. But it also tells us that God will purify and sanctify us as we submit ourselves to Him. You know, there's a woman that I want to introduce you to. Her name is, Carol, can you put that back up? This woman's name is Maureen, and I go to this recovery group called Celebrate Recovery, and it's for anyone that struggles with any kind of hurt, habit, or hang up. If you struggle with addictions or whatever. So I'm there, you know, basically to keep myself accountable for my porn addiction, which I've struggled with for many years. And thank God He's been using this program to really give me freedom. It's really, really amazing. This woman, Maureen, she has a crazy story. She basically heads the ministry. But by the time she was 14 years old, she had, you know, she was a meth addict. She had been prostituting herself. You know, I remember she told us one time that when she read the Bible, you know, she always would get so angry at God. God, why did you let this stuff happen to me? You know, I don't need to be forgiven. You need to be forgiven what you let happen to me. But she read the crucifixion account and said that Jesus was spat on, beaten, and mocked. And you know what her response was? Her response was, I've been spat on, I've been beaten, and I've been mocked by people. And that's how she came to to know the gospel and accept Jesus into her life. But, you know, her life couldn't have been more messed up. When she was in a recovery home, you know, somebody tried to share the gospel with her. And her response was, go F yourself, right? She could not have been a more unclean person. But she found the Lord Jesus. God totally transformed her life. And God's using her to heal so many people. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your history is. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. God can use you. God will use you. You need to submit yourself to Him. You need to start where you're at. God will meet you there. Be clean. God will help you. His word is powerful. His spirit is with you. So what if I'm such a big sinner? Paul was the worst of sinners. God used him in a very, very special way. Don't let your own sin, don't let the Satan's lie keep you from being used by God. Amen? God can use you. Some of us might think what you're saying is good, but it's too hard. It's too hard. It's unpractical. I can't do that. You're right. It is hard. You know, becoming clean, becoming pure, being sanctified it's been the hardest thing I've ever attempted in my life. But what does it say in verse 22? Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Pursue godliness along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Do it with other people that are calling on the Lord, because you can't do it by yourself, but the Lord gives us people in our lives that will help us. He's going to use us, each other, to help purify ourselves. You know, Pastor Daniel, you guys know that he's one of my best friends. And he has been this kind of person in my life. You know, he's been, through thick and thin with me. He's not the perfect friend, okay, but God's used him to perfect me. God's using him to perfect me, right? Because, and I invest in my relationship with him because I know that he also calls on the Lord out of a pure heart. And it's through Pastor Daniel, my friendship with Pastor Daniel, that God's making me into a better man, a better pastor. Do you have people like that in your life? You know, the people at church are supposed to be people not just to hang out with, but fellowship. You know what fellowship is supposed to be? Fellowship is supposed to look like something like this, where you purify each other, where you encourage each other, you help each other become more like Jesus. Some of us, we've been coming to this church for a long, long time, and we don't have a single relationship like that with here people here at church. And I want to tell you that you're missing out. You're missing out on how God wants to use people here to make you more like him. You know, stop removing yourself from what God wants to do in your life through relationships with people. Stop separating yourself, right? No, embrace the community here. Pursue godliness with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. It's hard. So God tells us to do it with each other. If you want to be used by God for special purposes, you need to know God's word. You need to know it. You need to become an expert in it. You need to use it in your life and the people's lives around you. And you need to strive for holiness in your life. And it's hard, but rely on God's grace. He will pick you up again and again and again. He's never going to give up on you. Even if you give up on him, he's still going to pursue you. So pursue godliness along with those who pursue him out of a sincere heart. Amen? Amen. Pastor Daniel's going to come up and lead us in a time of closing prayer.